This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown, Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, and just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
Whenever I see an open field full of green grass, I just get excited.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
What they're doing right now, they can run any kind of play. They're running ISOs. They're running lead plays. They're running zones, inside zone, outside zone. They really kind of are doing whatever they want with the running game, which is crazy. Because some teams, they stick to their bread and butter. Like, hey, we're an outside zone team. You can't, as a defensive coordinator, I'd hate to be a defensive coordinator who has to prepare for the Bears running game. Being able to have the luxury to look at the second level and having that many explosive runs, it makes me, I want to get the pass back on and like,
Let's go!
I could be third string, you know, something like,
Let's go!
I kind of want it. I'm almost jealous. I'm like, I want to get out there and run through one of them holes, man. Like, this is too good. I'm missing out.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Matt Forte joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, thanks for joining us as always. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good, even though I am a little upset, obviously, at you know how things turned out this past weekend. But I think there's a lot to grow off of, and we get to see him in 2 weeks. So I'm still hopeful for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be hopeful of, Matt. Great to talk to you. It was great to see you last week and to have you in. That was really cool and meaningful for us, and I know a lot of the listeners as well. Want to play off that open for a second, because you mentioned the outside zone and the inside zone. Tom Brady kept talking about, well, you know, they're really good. The Packers are at stopping the outside zone, and he thought that the Bears went away from it in advance. Wondering what your eyes saw in terms of that, because you were good right there in the open talking about how many different ways the Bears can run. Did they run it enough of the ways that they have been in this game, or did they get too simple from the get-go of that one?
Yeah, I think they kind of got away from it a little bit. Not sure why. You know, that was one of the things that they did, but at the same time, there were some other things inside that were working for them, and I'm not sure, because sometimes when you have an edge rusher like a Micah Parsons, sometimes they the best thing I've seen sometimes is to run at that person. Because even though they're a great pass rusher, sometimes in the running game, you can kind of double team them and overpower them that way. But I just didn't see it happen this past weekend that way, for whatever reason. But it's a good game to go back and look at the film, to look at the details, the ins and outs of the game, and look at a lot of plays across the board, not just on offense but on defense, that could have changed the momentum, could have changed the tide of the game, and all of those plays that accumulated into them not being able to come out on top.
What were the positives that you felt like were that the Bears could grow from for the next matchup?
I think the positives were that they fought hard, that they stayed in that game, you know, to the last play, that they were never really out of it. And Lambeau's a hard place to play. It's a hard place to win games up there. But that's no consolation. I think that the mentality of these guys in this team, they know that they can play and put out a better performance than what they did. Not that it was, you know, terrible or it was bad, but that it can be just, they have to almost play, you know, some really good, top-notch, perfect football in order for them to beat a really good Green Bay team like that. So some of the takeaways I would say is that, guys are still making plays out there. Some of the takeaways, I think, is that our man-to-man, you know, defense needs a little work when they're, you know, singled up on some receivers out there. But then also, I guess, offensively, that I'm encouraged that they didn't just abandon some of the things that didn't work initially, like the play action or some of the, inside zone game.
You know, Matt, it was such, just to exactly what you're saying, I was not expecting at the time, just in real time, them to come out and battle as hard as they did in that second half. Like that, it did my heart good to see that and to see like the coaching adjustments, and they were just fighting with absolutely everything they had, and Caleb making crazy plays. Like, I'm sure you've been in games up there where that second half effort, it doesn't come sometimes if you're thinking, man, I think they got us. Like, these guys fought, didn't they? That felt really good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that you don't, as a player and as a team, you don't hang your hat on that, because that's something that's like the base requirement. Like, you got to go out there and give your all. It's nothing that, you know, that you can use that as kind of soothing your ego or something like that, but at the same time, it's something that's important to be a staple. Like, that's a standard that, hey, even if, you know, at halftime we're not, the first half we didn't do as well, we're gonna go out here and play like it's 0-0. Like, it's a cliche saying that a lot of people say at halftime, hey guys, score 0-0. Yeah, but go out there and play like it and fight like dogs to come out on top. So it was good. It did my heart good as well to see that they, you know, really had that belief. Like we talked about in a few other, calls, the belief is something strong. Like, having that belief that the whole team believes that they can really buy into this system and play under Coach Johnson and really be a force in the playoffs. Because this, even though they went from one seed to seven, It's not all said and done. You know, we got a good fresh, you know, team coming in here as far as the Browns with Shadur and what he's doing right now, and we're gonna put him to the test. And then, you know, we get to see Green Bay again and the Lions again. So I think we got a lot of things left that have to shake out before the playoffs even take place or take shape.
Matt, Speegs and I were talking about Caleb's improvisational skills, and he's got a bunch of them, and you saw a lot of them on display over the last few weeks. I know that you play a different position, but you've also played with guys that improv at the quarterback position sometimes too. What's it like for the rest of the locker room, and when you watch Caleb, where do you think he could benefit from maybe doing a little bit more of one thing and less of the other, or vice versa?
Man, first of all, it's his elusiveness in the pocket is crazy. It is something to marvel at, but at the same time, sometimes it ends up being his worst enemy, where he's trying to do too much, where you could have just maybe, you know, set your feet and threw an accurate pass. So you know, it's something that is, you know, a key to his game. It's pretty, it's one of those intangibles when you can go out there and improv like that. And it's something that you see on film show up, but you just don't know how good it is and how hard it is to defend unless you're really out there. You see it in action. And it's the guys like Mahomes who improvise a lot, and Josh Allen. And I remember Jay every now and then would be able to improvise and do things like that, because when you do that, it's just the defense is in a specific coverage and call that doesn't know what's going on. You know, they call a play for some reason, and then it goes a different way. It's hard for them to defend that. So it adds to the ability to stay balanced, to stay as an offense kind of where they can't get a beat on every single thing you're doing. But at the same time, when you overdo it too much, sometimes it's just got to have a balance between an improvisation and an executing what's been called.
Yeah, there's a fusing of those worlds, right? Ben spoke on it a little bit yesterday. And did Jay have that mix down? Did Jay stay to the script enough when you guys were rolling?
Yeah, he stuck to the script pretty well. I think at times, if there was a play that he didn't like that was called, I mean, you can't just go out. Well, some dudes would. He wasn't that crazy where he would be like, I'm going to call my own play. We would stick to the call, but he would kind of later on be like, see, that didn't work. but from the improvisation though part, man, he had a feel for the game where if he locked eyes with a guy, like if I'm split out and we see that it's a linebacker on me and we would look over, I knew he was going to come to me with the ball. Or, you know, there's a play against the Patriots one year where I was running a check down and I saw that he was kind of, you know, there was a trips to the left side and there's nobody on the right. And so I ran my regular check down, and as the linebacker, you know, was biting up to cover me, I noticed that he was scrambling and about to break the pocket. So I took off up the field, and it ended up being like a 25, 30-yard touchdown catch. And that's not in the playbook, but we ran it and ended up getting points off of it. So he did a good job of noticing and kind of the feel for the game when to be able to improvise and when it was needed.
Man, and that's the stuff you remember all these years later, is a time when you guys thought together, when it fused and you guys had it. Because that's what Jordan Love and Christian Watson did when on that play, right, where he looked down, he said, oh, they got a nickel on you, Christian, tell you what. And he just locked eyes with them and they adjusted.
Throw the slant.
Yeah, run a slant, yeah. And there's a 41-yard touchdown. That's
yeah, and those things like that come from just timing, man. Like this time you spend in the offseason together, the time you spend year after year after year. That's what I'm excited about, is because not only this year and who knows where we go this year, but the continuation of Caleb in this system, Rome in this system, Luther Burton Jr. in this system, you know, the rookie tight end in this system. Like, to see these guys grow and flourish, DJ in this system, to see how they continue to flourish just by just knowing how what each other's going to do out there on the field.
Well, let me ask you about DJ, because you look at the box score at the end, you're like, wow, he didn't really get a real opportunity to have an impact on the game. When you're a player like him, and you were one of those players, your resume speaks volumes. If you're him, how do you go about saying, guys, I feel like I could really help you if you give me more opportunities? Like, how does that work in the building when you have an opportunity to look at the film and then look at the stats and go, guys, I'm a 1,000-yard receiver. Is there a way to get me more involved?
Yeah, so the way I think DJ's personality goes into that too, he's not a guy that's going to whine and complain and cry about it, but he's also sometimes it may be to a fault that I remember being one of those guys that I'm never going to complain. And they, you know, I talk about the squeaky wheel gets oiled. And, you know, I got the ball plenty. And but I think so sometimes to a fault, I think it's a leadership thing. And it comes from experience. And for me now, there's a lot of things that I did while playing that I could have done leadership-wise that I would have been a much better leader vocally and, you know, actively, if I would have done some of these things or or spoke up in certain situations. I think this might be a time where he, even though he's a quieter guy, he's not a controversial dude, but I think it would benefit him to say, hey, these are the ways that I could help in situations like where it's not really happening for us right now, where I can benefit us as an offense or as a team and move forward. But at the same time, I do love that he is not a guy throwing his helmet on the sideline, complaining about not getting the ball or not being as involved in the offense. But at the same time, in the running game, he's out there trying to block. He's trying to block downfield. He's hustling. He's not really loafing on any plays. And you got to respect that.
Man, it's an interesting balance to hit for a skill position player when it's not your design. You're not the coach. And it's also, I have this theory that Caleb sometimes doesn't get deep enough into his progressions to find DJ. If he's not, because he's not the number one. Rome's been the number one on a lot of plays all year. You know, it's like, so how much control can a wide receiver have in those kind of moments, you know?
And that is one of the most difficult things in pro sports. You know, when you game plan for the Chicago Bears and their passing attack, they're gonna try to take away DJ Moore. Like, that's why the other guys got to eat. And I think it hurt us not to have Rome out there. But I think with the emergence of the other receivers, that it will only open up things for DJ. Or if they continue to try to shut DJ down with different coverages and maybe double teams and things like that, it's just going to open up other guys. But at the same time, like you were saying, Spees, is, yeah, Caleb needs to, I would say, be a little more patient with his feet and also go, you know, deeper into the progression, because his elusiveness, I think he does rely on that. But at the same time, you know, if you go deeper into the progression and the blocking allows it, then you may get a guy in the second window or actually on an improvised play.
Matt, when you were here on Thursday and we played the soundbite coming into the segment, you were like, hey, I'm ready to put the pads back on. And obviously, anyone who's seen you knows that you look like you could still play. Phillip Rivers is getting ready to go play again. This is a guy that's older than you. He took himself off of the Hall of Fame ballot to sign on the practice squad with the Colts. How amazed are you that he is being given this opportunity?
Oh, my God. I am super amazed. I'm amazed that he actually, you know, took this into consideration and is actually doing it. But, man, you know, that just goes to show you, too. Like, it's a different – every position is different. You know, like, quarterback is much different than running back and just the requirement to go out there. You know, if they sign me to the practice squad, you know – I don't know what would happen out there. it would be interesting though. It would be interesting though. I know that.
Yeah.
But with him being signed and being out of football for the last 5 years, I think.
Yes.
It might get ugly out there. I ain't gonna lie, because you got to be able to move around, bro. Like, and I'm turning 40 tomorrow, and bro, hey, it's not these guys is not playing with you out there. Just, I mean, look at, you had who was that out there? Jalen with the Commanders. He had a snapped his arm weeks ago, and he's out there playing, and he throws an interception. Dudes don't care. They come and blocked him right into the ground, man. Like, they don't care nothing about it. So they don't care how old he is, but he better get prepared to be able to move around and start stretching today for the game on Sunday.
And Phillip couldn't move when he was young.
No. Yeah, he had a giant knee brace when he was young, so he might have – a hip brace and two knee braces and everything. But I don't know. Maybe he can still sling the ball out there. It'll be interesting to see that too. But, yeah, I mean, they might as well call Drew Brees. You know, maybe he ain't getting off the couch. Peyton Manning, somebody.
No, I don't know if they can pay Peyton as much as he's getting paid by ESPN and Omaha Productions to get him off the couch. But I do think it's funny. Phillip has a child that's older than Riley Leonard.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy work. Yeah.
So he's going to be in the quarterback room with a dude that's old enough to be – young enough to be his son. And I'm pretty sure that Phillip's a grandfather.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Man, I think maybe he just wanted to submit his legacy in a way that probably a lot of people – well, I can't say anybody was probably going to do this, where you're a grandpa – playing in, you know, a lot of people use that term when you turn 30 as a runner, but, oh, grandpa, things like that. But he's really, this is like real. He's really a grandfather.
Maybe just want to get out of the house, you know? Just want to
That's true, too.
Get
that's
away from the fam. So what
you know what? Maybe he's just putting his, just, you know, he loves the game of football that much that he's just like, look, just, you know, let me live on the field. And if it happens, it happens.
What is Matt Forte going to get for his 40th birthday party? You know, what kind of presents you getting tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know, man. At this point, when I turn 30, I stop caring about what gifts I would get because I've been given so much. That's why. I've had an amazing life, an amazing family that I've been able to create. God's grace has truly been lavished on me. So I'm looking forward to, you know, whatever my wife has in store. I already got a horse, so that's amazing. So I'm not even caring about what else is next.
Maybe you get to hang out with Gumbo for a good 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know?
Oh, yeah, I did. I took him out in the snow today. He loves it.
Well, happy birthday, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Matt.
It's Matt Forte.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. He said that Phillip should start stretching today for Sunday's game.
So to put it into perspective, Phillip, the last time he played, he's the same age as Matt is right now. Okay? It's going to be 1,800 days since he played.
They're not going to activate him, are they? He's on the practice squad.
They might not have a choice because Riley Leonard got hurt. So they might not have a choice.
It's craziness.
It really it the crazy part to me is
Chris Ballard taking the call?
No, because I mean you're kind of, it's not like you can make a trade. The crazy part to me is Phillip Rivers has an opportunity to go to the Hall of Fame.
I know this is resetting his clock.
And it resets his clock 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
Phillip Rivers would not be the first grandfather in the history of the NFL.
Steve DeBerg or Brett Favre?
Brett Favre. In 2010, when he was with the Vikings, his 21-year-old daughter, Brittany, gave birth to Parker Brett. So Phillip Rivers would be the second grandfather.
It's still pretty crazy.
Shout out to George Blanda, who I figured was the first.
Oh, well, maybe. We never knew.
No,
doesn't seem to be the case. All right, let's take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, let's go back to Green Bay. Our friend Kaylin Kaler was there for Bears-Packers, and she was in the Packers locker room. Let's talk with her about what she learned, and she can give us some insight into the whole Matt LaFleur-Ben Johnson thing. That's next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW.
this is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Scott is in Wisconsin, and now Scott is on Spiegel and Holmes. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show. Hey,
you're right.
I got a couple questions. Great show.
You're right.
You covered some of it.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm in the bowels of the Lambeau Field. Not going onto the field. It's way too cold.
Every week at Lambeau, they feed us media some cheese curds and some pack and cheese. And can't forget your Johnsonville bratwurst. That's my friend Kevin. He covers the Bears. And then usually, since I'm from Wisconsin, someone I know will be in the stands today with my cousin Emma. Hi, Emma. After the game, I go to the locker room. And what was interesting is the Packers redid their locker room recently, and they already had all the post-game photos of their Bears win all over the screens. I normally hang out at the back of a big scrum like this, mainly because I don't want to get concussed by a camera hitting me in the head. I literally know someone that happened to.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Our friend Kaylin Kaler was there for Bears-Packers, as you heard in the open for her to come on. You can check out her work, senior NFL writer at ESPN. She joins us now at on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. So it sounds like you... Why was that embarrassing? You put it out there!
I know, but it's different hearing it on the radio.
I thought it was delightful, Kaylin. I count me as somebody who hadn't seen it or heard it, and I was like, homegirl can sing. All right, that sounded pretty good.
I'm trying something new. I told myself for the month of December, I'm just going to try to TikTok, even though I really have no idea what I'm doing. But I just recently decided, like, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that, like, we see behind the scenes that, like, we don't even use. Like, I pitched, you know, post game, Courtney and I, like, pitched the Josh Jacobs quote about the Bears to our news desk, and they're like, oh, we don't really need that for a news story. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to make a TikTok and put it in there and then tweet it out. So yeah, I'm trying something new this year, so I'm glad you guys like it.
Absolutely. Kind of like, well, I mean, you're talking to two people who have a lot of different sides, so it's, and we know about your hardcore football journalistic side.
And the Josh Jacobs quote was actually particularly interesting to us.
Yeah, tell people, because we wanted to reference that. Tell people about that Josh Jacobs quote, because, like, I'm somebody who took some moral victory value as a fan and kind of as an analyst too from the game. And a lot of people said, well, they were close last year too, but Josh Jacobs says this is a different bunch, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're all about the moral victories, I feel like, in the response to this game, but it was really interesting. So Josh Jacobs was talking to the media, and I wish I had asked more players the same question in the Packers locker room, but of course it, like, didn't really occur to me until I talked to him, and he was one of the last people we talked to. So I asked him, I was just like, hey, what is the difference between, you know, this year's Bears team and last year? And he said, offensively, they took a big step. And that's the thing I see the difference in, is their mentality. They actually have a belief, more of a belief of a winning culture. And then I asked him, how do you actually see that, like, as an opponent? Like, how is that clear to you? And he said, well, you know, we basically see the interviews. We hear what they're saying all week. And he said, you see what the head coach is preaching, and you see how the guys are embodying that. Even on the field, they're straining a little bit more. They're doing a little bit more. You could tell that they're believing in what he's preaching. And I thought that was really interesting to hear that from a division rival. Like, on the one hand, it was a compliment to this year's Bears. On the other hand, it was a big dig at last year's Bears, who apparently did not believe they could win. I mean, that was pretty obvious from their performance last season. But, and I think, you know, Caleb Williams, I don't know his exact quote on this, but a few weeks ago, Chris Emma had been asking him, I don't remember what the question was, but Chris Emma asked him something similar and like, what's the difference in this year? And Caleb said basically the same thing of like, well, actually this year we go into games thinking we can win. And I'm paraphrasing Caleb, but I think you guys probably know what I'm talking about. Like, he gave a really long answer on that at one point earlier this season about how they actually feel like they're going to win a game. So apparently last year they were going into games with no optimism and no hope is what we can kind of read into this. So yeah, I thought Josh Jacobs' quote was really interesting because that's your division rival opponent saying that about the Bears. And then he finished and said, like, they're on the right path. So yeah, the Bears lost. It didn't translate Sunday, but you know, I think they're going to give the Packers hell in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've been kind of talking about too, is the idea that this is now really competitive division from top to bottom, which is a lot of fun that it's the case. From all the people that you talk to inside the locker rooms and inside of football organizations, what are they saying about the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, I think the sense is sort of like Ben Johnson. I mean, there is a huge amount of respect for Ben Johnson, first of all. Like, that's where I'll start. I think everyone thought that was a great hire, but I don't know that they thought it would, you know, lead to these results as soon as it has. I think that's the surprise for all of us is like, oh, it's actually working in year one. Like, that's crazy. But I think there's a huge amount of respect for Ben Johnson league-wide. And I mean, you hear it from, you know, any media you consume on ESPN, like all day analysts are just like, who's got the best playbook? Ben Johnson, right? Like, Ben Johnson is the coach that the Bears thought he was when they hired him, which I think is sort of the general consensus around the NFL. And I would say that's sort of the response. And I think Caleb Williams also is like earning a lot of respect too. Not that he didn't already have it, but I think it's his improvement with just getting the ball out so much quicker this year, you know, eliminating the sacks that he took last year has really been the biggest thing for him.
Kalen, some of us had known or heard rumors of some of the things that you wrote in January on ESPN.com about how agents had been controlling things at Hallis, at Hallis Hall. And I think about it often. I think about that piece often because the Bears desperately needed to hand the keys to a really good, smart head coach, and they've needed to do it for a long, long time. Now, they chose the right one, but my God, the whole organization looks so much healthier now that they've done things in a way that makes sense. And it took getting those agents out of the mix in the way that you described in that article, didn't it? It had a big, big effect on the entire organization.
Yeah, I think it did for sure, just because, you know, they interviewed so many people last year, first of all. So, I mean, that was one thing where I think they really overcorrected last year in the process of being like, all right, we're going to, you know, go the extra mile. I don't remember how many people they actually interviewed, but it was, you know, something like, wasn't it like 15 or so, or maybe even more than that? So I do think they did things, I think they were very aware. There was a conversation that I had with Kevin Warren last year before a game where, he was telling me like he didn't have an agent and that he was not going to be thinking about that in the process. And it's easy to say that. And, you know, I'm sure there were still agent influences when it came down to it in the end. But they went with, you know, Ben Johnson's agent is Rick Smith, so it was not Trace Armstrong. And so that was just breaking the pattern of what had been in place previously. And so, you know, I think it does say a lot about just trying something different. And, you know, we'll see. It's still early. But so far, it looks like it's going to be a different result.
Kalen Kaler of ESPN joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. How do you think you've seen or heard from people around the league of the evolving nature of Jordan Love as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's another one where, you know, back when the Packers had to make a decision on, you know, giving him a contract, I feel like there were still a lot of questions about him as a quarterback. And now it's like it looks like they've definitely made the right choice there. I mean, he's in the MVP conversation. He still will, I mean, obviously throw a bad pick, you know, every, you know, with a certain amount of frequency. But, you know, I think he's definitely up there in the conversation of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think, you know, he's an example of someone who didn't play as a rookie, right? Somebody who, and then even when he did start playing, it still took him time to grow and time to learn. But, you know, his teammates speak so highly. And like I was talking with, you know, some of the receivers and the backup quarterback, Malik Willis, their post game. And, you know, they're just like, he throws a pick, he comes back to the sideline, and then the rest of the game, he's like lights out for the Packers. So, you know, he's able to really bounce back from that. So, yeah, I think like league-wide, Jordan Love is really respected. And I think, you know, by winning that game and being, you know, having the top spot in the NFC North right now, I think the Packers have now proven like they are one of the top teams in the NFC, obviously.
Kalen, in that locker room, did you get the sense that some of those Packers players felt the Bears rivalry personally, the way that that Matt LaFleur clearly did? He wouldn't speak to it, but
yeah,
but we can tell that he did.
Yeah, I definitely think they do. I mean, it's funny because Micah Parsons is like brand new to this. Like he has no history in this rivalry, but Micah like just says whatever is on his mind, and I love that about him. Like his post game press, his little scrum post game was really entertaining because, you know, he talked about wanting to get to Caleb Williams and not getting to Caleb Williams because they kept putting him on bootleg and kept putting him on a run so that he wasn't ever able to like complete a sack because they were moving him purposely, game planning Micah Parsons out of the game. And actually I'm looking at some of the stats right now, and I was kind of watching Micah like singularly during the game just to see, you know, what his impact would be. And they were double teaming him so much. And I'm actually looking right now, it was the highest percentage of double teams that he'd faced in that game all season. 56% of his pass rush snaps were versus a double team. So I think the Bears like effectively, I guess, minimized Micah's impact there, but also he totally impacted in a lot of ways by like forcing Caleb in other directions. Anyways, but back to my point, Micah was very good on, you know, the energy and the rivalry. And then he also, I thought, like, added some fuel to the fire by questioning. He was like, I really didn't understand what the Bears were doing in their two-minute offense. He's like, they needed to score 7, but they were acting like they only needed to score 3. And he's like, I don't understand why they weren't taking more shots, and they had 2 timeouts. And he was, like, really critical of what the Bears did in the two-minute drill at the end there. And I thought that was really interesting because it was just, like, you know, not really necessary. Like, I think my question was like, what'd you think of the 4th-and-1 play that ended the game? And then he took it much broader and was like, yeah, I don't know what they were doing on the 2-minute offense. And those questions were very fair, by the way. I think I understand what Ben Johnson was doing because he didn't want to give the Packers the ball back with time to score again. I get it. He wanted to just win the game outright, but I feel like it was a little bit cocky to be like, oh yeah, we're going to score on this 4th-and-1 in this one shot, and then we're going to get the 2-point conversion. We're going to win. Like, based off of the way your offense had been functioning the whole game, I don't know that that was the best idea. Anyways, but Micah was great for the rivalry. I thought I really enjoyed his addition into the fire between the two teams this week.
Is ESPN going to send you back to Madrid next year? Because you did a great job. You're out there showing your conversational Spanish.
Yeah, it was so fun. Oh my gosh, I really want to be bilingual in Spanish, so that was really cool to like actually use it for work. That was the first time I've gotten to do that. I don't know, like, if there's another game there, maybe. I'm not confident that they're going to go back to Spain next season. This is the first year that the NFL went to Spain, and my observations were like, this is a really new market for them, obviously, but it's like, there were a ton of Americans at the game. It seemed like there were a lot of Americans on vacation and not a lot of Spanish people. They are opening a Spanish office in Madrid, so that might help in the next year to like sort of increase the amount of fans there. But, you know, they claim there's like 11 million NFL fans in Spain, but like that includes most people who just watch the Super Bowl once a year and just watch the Super Bowl halftime show. Yeah. So, I mean, literally, like, their numbers are, like, so inflated there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, like, waited a year and then went back to Spain, you know, 2027 or something. Because sometimes they'll do that. Like, I think in Germany, the first year they did Germany, I don't think they went back exactly the next year. I think they waited. And now they do, like, you know, now they have an agreement with Germany where they do, like, multiple games over a certain amount of years. But, yeah, I mean, it was really fascinating. It was my first time being at an international game. And I was like, okay, this is really interesting to see how the NFL is received over here and, like, to see, you know, what the league's ambitions really are in that aspect.
World domination. Kaylin, you are the best. We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on the show.
Thank you. I'll do another TikTok from the Browns game.
And we'll play it.
We'll play it. We will 100% play it.
Okay, great.
That is Kaylin. Kaylin. She is awesome. We love having her.
I'm in the bowels of a Lambeau Field.
From now on, that's how we're going to bring on every reporter we ever get from Lambeau Field for the eternal life of this radio station.
That's right. That is a top-notch all-time drop, Kaylin. You are a legend now. You're a score legend.
Thank you.
That's Kaylin Kaler. We got to take a break. When we come back, does the head coach know the Nickelback? We'll discuss next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
I haven't been around Kyler a whole lot yet. You know, he's been dinged up, and so I can't speak to that.
I think Nickelback was the greatest group ever.
Yes, your fault. It's your fault. You said Nickel. Does he know the Nickelback in the tease? And I'm like, well, now we're in for it. Now we got troubles. And then, of course, Tanny goes and does that. Now I'm listening to Nickelback. It's unfortunate for all concerned. Except for Nickelback. They're happy and they seem to be doing fine.
They're doing just fine.
In their life. But that was, what, 6 weeks ago?
Yes.
When the coach was like, laughing, he's like, I just haven't seen him. I don't really know about Kyler Gordon. And now he's back until he's not back. And now he's somebody that maybe you can't depend on for the rest of the season, even after the late scratch, after the inactives were decided and the effect that had on the team.
I mean, it's nobody's fault. Like, I'm not claiming malfeasance or anything like that. It's just really rough when you've already kind of gone through what it is you're trying to do, your game plan, and then it has to change kind of drastically considering what you're expecting. Here's what Ben said about availability of guys this time of the year.
Where does your patience level rest when you have a player that's in and out and in and out as frequently as he's been since you got here?
Well, it's disappointing. You know, I wish I had a better feel for the individual, but with him being out as much as he has, I haven't really get to see him on the field and competing and get to know him like I'd like to at this point yet. And so I do know that the biggest predictor of a soft tissue injury is having a previous one. And he's kind of in this rut right now that we're not able to get out of. And so we're going to exhaust all of our resources in and outside of the building to make sure that we're addressing it and doing what we can to get him back and healthy again.
So he's saying he doesn't know him, hasn't been around him, so he can't tell you whether he's going to come back or not.
And we're going to exhaust everything inside and outside the building.
It's hard not to hear that and think of it as, If a subtle one or slightly backhanded one, a question of pain tolerance or toughness or just like his physical ability to play not at 100%. It's hard to hear that.
I'm not hearing that. But I am hearing a little bit of maybe you need to change what it is you do as you're getting ready for games. And maybe whether it's a second opinion or the way that you're training or the way that you're eating or the way that you're drinking, like all of that stuff when you're trying to come back from an injury is important. And remember, he's not married to Kyler. Like, this isn't his guy. So these are first impressions that we're talking about. The stuff on film is incredible. Kyler Gordon's an incredible talent. But if he's not out there, if you're Ben Johnson, you're kind of like, okay, well, I know that on film he's great. Everyone tells me that he's great. D.A. was super excited about having him, but we don't have him.
D.A. was excited about the X and the O and didn't know the person. It's like, boy, it's also clear that in the NFL, if you have your own plans or your own ideas of how you get healthy and stay healthy, and it's, if anyway, not under the aegis of the team, then there's a kind of a lack of trust that's sort of inherent in that way.
Well, especially if you don't have a relationship built up with the front office, you know, like, or in this case, the head coach.
Because he does have a relationship with Poles. Poles rewards him with the contract.
As he should have. I don't think anyone was mad about that contract, but you do have to live up to it. And if you're not available, it's hard to... If you're Ben, I understand where it's like, I would love to have the guy, but I don't have the guy.
In Brad Biggs' 10 Thoughts the other day, he wrote about Kyler and wrote about what will he, in his mind, is definitely going to happen, which is a meeting of the minds after the year with Kyler and anybody that he wants to bring. Mm-hmm. And then the team strength and conditioning people, the team trainer, and at least Al Harris from the coaching staff and Ryan Poles to sit down and talk about the off-season plan.
Nutritionist, yep. Like all of that stuff.
Like the whole holistic plan for keeping yourself and your soft tissue injuries under control.
No doubt about it. What's it like if he's not out there? What were the breakdowns in the defensive backfield for the Bears against the Packers? Matt Bowen has gone through the tape. He also played the position for Green Bay. We'll talk to him about all of that next here on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.